One day, a plain village woman, driven by love for her lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the score. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my own precious treasure. Lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me and used up for thee. Lord, you were God's precious treasure, his loved and his own perfect son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Yes, just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly, and you spared no expense for my pardon. You were spilled out and used up for me, broken and spilled out, just for love of me, Jesus, God's most precious treasure, lavished on me, broken and spilled out, and poured at my feet in sweet abandon. Lord, you were spilled out and used up for me.
Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18 this morning. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together. We understand if you're unable, please remain seated. But for those of us that are able, let's honor the Word of God in standing as the Scriptures are read this morning. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage. Use it to help us today. God, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. But Lord, we want to get something out of this today. So Lord, please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power, and help us to have and do what you're trying to teach us today. Father, as I pray every week, if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet does not know this Jesus, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we often remind you now to make sure your cell phone is turned off or whatever is necessary so it does not go off in the service. Just check it. You say, "Well, I think I did." No, just check it so it doesn't go off in the service. We would appreciate that very much. Jesus is asked a question here in Matthew 18 by some adults. Would you look in your Bibles in Matthew 18 and verse number 1? Not just adults, disciples. So these are people who've disciplined themselves to follow Jesus. And they come to Jesus and they said, "Lord, could you tell us who it is that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Let me tell you something. They're not asking for a name of someone. They're asking for him to say, "Well, it's you." Look at me. They're looking for status. They're looking for a position. They're looking for recognition. And so he said, "Lord, tell us now, who's the great?" Now these are guys, these are disciples now, and they're serious men, serious Christians. So how does Jesus answer a question given him by a bunch of adult men? Levi, come here, would you please, son? Rather than debate the theology of it, sit right there, would you, pal? Jesus says, "Give me a little child." He set him down, and then Jesus gave those men a solid theological lesson about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven by using a child that he called to sit down. Don't know what the kid's name is. Don't know what his background is. Then Jesus said, "Fellas, if you look in your Bibles," it's very important to keep your Bible open this morning. Any other Sunday probably isn't, but today. Don't go to a knife fight without a gun, and don't go to church without a Bible. And then when you get one, open it up and stay with me on this. But look at verse 3. "Verily I say unto you," Jesus says, "except you be converted to become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now look at verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on in another couple verses. He gives them three lessons from this boy. Lesson number 1 was, how do you get to heaven? That's verse 3. He said to them, now, you want to know how you're even going to get there? He's talking to disciples now. He's not talking to somebody in the crowd, a guy said, hey, who's the greatest in heaven? These are his disciples, and he's saying, first of all, let's make sure we're going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. The greatest tragedy, the greatest fear I have as a pastor is pastoring people who wind up going to hell. That's my greatest fear. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, come on. I mean, you know, we all go to church. We listen to the Bible. You look at me. You look at me. Judas was one of his 12 disciples, and he's in hell today. Jesus taught parables about wheat among the tares. He taught parables about principles that would teach us, hey, Christians who say that they're Christians are not always Christians. Not in God's sight. So when he tells these disciples, you want to make sure, first of all, you're going to heaven. He says you got to be like a little child in order to go to heaven. See, people, I'm afraid most people today, they don't respect the faith of a child. Not very often, but occasionally, because we have so many different types of children's ministries. Over 39 years, we've spent millions of dollars on children's ministries. Millions. Glad to do it. We'll continue to do so. People often think, well, yeah, but they're kids. I mean, what do they really understand? Get what Jesus just did right here, talking to adults. He said, you grown-ups need to get some childlike faith in your thinking. So never denigrate a testimony of a child or a child who makes a profession. Now, we want to be careful with children. We want to be careful when we explain the gospel to them. But don't make it any more difficult on them than you would anybody else. If they realize they're sinners and they need a Savior and Jesus is that Savior and they're willing to simply trust Christ alone to save them, they can get as saved as anybody else does. But now listen, he calls a little child, he sits him down, he says, now, let me show you gentlemen today how you can even know for sure you're going to heaven. You got to be like this child. He says, you need to have childlike faith. Well, what is that? Simply trusting God's word. See why it's difficult for some adults? Well, I'm not so sure, Pastor Johnson. What are you not sure about when it comes to the authority of the Bible? That God's word tells you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. How much authority? Do you doubt the authority of God's word? See, adults do that. Kids don't. By and large today, now unfortunately because of the influence of public school on these kids today, some of them come, even second graders, third graders, little kids, and they're already denying the word of God because they're being taught that. That's why Christian education is essential for your kids. That's right. The truth of the matter is, why would we want to put them in a system that's going to teach them contrary to what we have want them to believe? Makes no sense. Well, I can't afford that. Well, if you can afford, you know, a cable bill, 4 cell phones for everybody in the family and all that kind of stuff, let's just talk about a priority here. So here's the thing now. Because you know what? By and large, you tell a child, the Bible is the word of God. That's pretty much it for them. Yeah, but they'd believe that if you said Reader's Digest was the word of God, Pastor Johnson. Well, I don't know anybody teaching kids Reader's Digest is the word of God, number one. Number two, I'm talking about the principles by which they believe the Bible is the God's word. See, adults get that all mixed up. All of a sudden, they want to get theological and dispensational and all the other junk that's involved in it. No, Jesus said, you got to become like a little child. You want to get to heaven, you got to get it simple faith in God's word. You got to get simple faith in the Son of God. Who is it called this child? Jesus did. And when he called him, he came. So you got to have simple faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and went to the grave and rose again 3 days later and made a full, complete payment for your salvation. It's as simple as that. Kids don't look at it and go, well, I'm not so sure that. Well, what if this? They just look at you and go, oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder how well they comprehend it. They comprehend it better than adults. Hello? Simple trust of God's word, simple trust in God's Son, and simple trust without question. Did you hear it when Jesus called that boy? Come here, sit down, son. Did you hear the boy? Who are you to tell me what to do? I'll do my own thing. I'll live my own life. Hello. He just came and sat down. Didn't say Jesus knew who the boy was. He just pointed a kid in the crowd and said, hey, son, come here a minute. Sit down right there, would you? The boy walked over and he sat down. Simple. Just settled it. Just simply did what he was told. Hey, this kid didn't have any questions about things. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, I have a guy I was talking to on an airplane one day, one of these PhD guys, which means post-hole digger. He's sitting there and he's saying, well, but Reverend, I said, first of all, don't call me Reverend. Reverend is the title for God, and I'm not God. So pastor's fine. Most holy Reverend works. But anyway, just don't do that. And he goes, well, I might have some questions in my mind about. I said, do you have a question about the Bible, about Jesus, and about the fact he died to save you from your sins and give you eternal life? Well, no. And I said, well, the rest of it's not relevant. They don't complicate it. That's why the Bible says, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Hey, the devil makes it complicated. God makes it simple. That's why the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's a have or have not situation. It's that simple. It's no more complicated than that. Don't mess it up. Don't put stuff in there. Don't listen to me. Just say, well, I'm supposed to just turn off my mind. Well, if your mind is in the way of God's word, turn it off. If your mind is greater than God's word, turn it off. If you think your mind is even smarter than God, you better get rid of that one, Spanky, and you better straighten it out and level the field and realize, hey, I am a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. I, in repentance of faith, trust Christ, I get saved. Boom! That's it. So you see, he's wanting to make sure these men, these disciples, are even going to heaven. Yeah, friend, look at me. You can miss heaven from the chairs of Shasta Baptist Church as well as you could from a chair in a bar somewhere. You can miss it just as easily. Do you know that you have simply trusted Christ? Have you settled it in your life? Now look here, that means you can look back. Somewhere in your life, you realize you were lost, you trusted Christ, you got saved. It's not more complicated than that. It's not any more complicated. Have you done that? Well, I'm sure along the way. No, not along the way. American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. Are you going to do that again? Yeah, I am, pal. And you just hold tight on this one. Because I still remember the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't remember the date, but I remember the day. I couldn't take it anymore. I walked forward and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's a clear testimony. Apostle Paul had that with the Damascus Road, getting off the high horse of his religion down the dirt of repentance, looked up to Christ and trusted Christ and got saved. He gave that same testimony in front of kings and governors and emperors and people and crowds because he had the same testimony. Do you have a clear, simple testimony that you trusted Christ and got saved? See, we got to get off all this other stuff. Let's get back to just simply as a child. So lesson number one was how to get to heaven. Lesson number two he teaches him with this child is how to live the Christian life. Because look at the verse now, please, in Matthew 18. Now go one more, verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Now he points to the kid. As this little child, he says, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he uses not only that the boy was there and what he did in his simple faith, he uses his example of this kid when he called him, this one. He said, that one is there now. What did it say in verse 4 again? The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How to live for God, how to live the Christian life. Like this little child. When I said, Levi, come here, son. And he walked over, he sat down. Did you get the theology on that one? Huh? He came when he was commanded. That simple. Whatever happened to us in our Christian life? Hey, look at me. Whatever happened to us in our Christian life where all of a sudden now we've got to have all these questions about what God says? Well, I'm not so sure that that's really for this particular. I'm not sure that's meant for us. I'm not so sure about that. That's a nice excuse for somebody to hide behind some kind of a dispensational cloud instead of realize that whatever God told any Christian to do, he expects any Christian to do. Whatever happened to, boy, if God said it, I'm just going to do it. How about that one? No. We've got to throw up the excuses and the reasoning and all the rest of that stuff and everything else. Not this kid. Jesus said, this child, the one I just told to come up here, he just got up and did what I told him to do. Boom! You want good Christian living? Just do what he tells you to do. It's not that simple. It is. We make it that complicated. We add stuff to it. We come up with all of our reasoning instead of just saying, you know what? If that's what he said, then that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care what people say about the interpretation of Scripture. Well, there is a lot of things about the... I know that. I'm not sure who the Antichrist is. Frankly, I don't care. Our view of the Antichrist when he comes in power in this world is from heaven, not this earth. I know it ain't the guy in the White House. I can tell you that. But other than that, I can assure you, he'd have to be demon-possessed, devil-possessed, to be a world leader. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. It fascinates me how we want to get off on subject. How about this one? You know, anything he's told any Christian to do, you know what that is in the Bible, right? Going to all the world, preach the gospel. Every Christian is supposed to be a witness for Christ. He called us to live a holy life. He called us to be surrendered and present ourselves a living sacrifice. Those things don't require interpretation. We don't even have to wonder how that fits. That fits for everybody. How about that one? How about get back to simple childlike obedience? That makes the Christian life work. Yeah, he said you have to be like this little child. When he called a child to come and sit, now it's kind of a cultural thing. When he called a child to come and sit, I'm sorry, messing up your hair, buddy. Are you all right? I have never seen you sit that still in my entire life, Levi James, ever. He's doing good. Heavily medicated, but he's doing good. For a child to come and sit in the presence of adults flies against the culture. Kids don't sit when adults are standing. Men don't sit when women are standing either, by the way. That's another one, but that's free. For him to do that, that means he had to break across some barriers of what was people would have expected of him. See, a kid in those days to sit in the presence of an adult would shame his parents, would shame his upbringing. Wouldn't it be nice if some young people raised, taught right, would not shame their people? Hello? Or that it mattered to him. But he came and he was not ashamed to do what the Lord told him to do. Come over here, son, sit down. Boom, sit down. He just crossed cultural barriers. He did violate his upbringing, his teaching in that respect. Kids don't sit when adults stand, son. You stand up, they sit. Because, hey, look at me. He wasn't ashamed to do what he was told. Whew. Now we're talking peer pressure. But if I do that, people will. Oh, so you're more concerned with what they think than what God says. Kids aren't like that. They're not ashamed to do what they're told. No, every child is not completely obedient, but a child that is testifies to us as adults. How about this one? How about stop being ashamed of Jesus Christ? Ashamed of him. Ashamed of his word. Ashamed of his claims upon our lives. Those are Christians who go out and just blend in society, want to be like them, talk like them, walk like them, look like them, act like them, live like them, do what they do. That's a disgrace. You are ashamed to your Savior. Then he comes and he sits down. He shows us another lesson about how to live the Christian life. You obey until you get further instructions. I don't see anywhere in here where Jesus told the boy, get up and go back and out to your family. He said, sit down and give us this lesson. Is the kid still sitting there? I have no idea. I know this. He's not going anywhere until he's told differently. Hey, look at me. I'm not outgrowing the Bible. No, I'm sorry. I am not progressing. Hopefully, I'm growing as a Christian. Hopefully, I'm growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I'm not progressing outside the Bible I was taught. No, thank you very much. I haven't figured it out better than God did or my people who taught me the Bible. I haven't figured that out better than them either. I haven't got that far in my life. Well, you know, after all, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I know what my parents taught me. But you see, I've come to the position. Can I give you an encouraging thought? Why don't you shut up and do what you were taught? Say, well, Pastor Johnson, come on now. That's a little bit blunt. Can I get more blunt for you? Huh? What is it? How is it we got smarter than the godly people who raised us? No, they weren't perfect, but I tell you what, friend, they taught you the book. And if they taught you the book, you know what? You ought to just stay with that. And it hasn't changed. That's the wonderful truth about the eternal truths of God's word. They are eternal for this generation, for any generation. 2022 did not change the Bible. Did not. Hasn't altered a word of that book. Hasn't altered a claim of that book. Hasn't altered an order of that book. Hasn't altered a command of that book. Hasn't altered a principle of that book. That book stands, my friend. It stands. And he's not moving till he's told to get up and move. Because you know why? Jesus told him to do that. So he's going to stay right there and follow what that is. That's why we got Christians today are just as they're like the wave in the sea. They're like the wind, the shaft, the wind blows them about, and they get caught up in this, and then they get there, and then they're over here when the Word of God is an anchor that holds them fast and steady. And by the way, it worked when they were a kid. It still works. It's still true. It's still right. As this little child. Lesson number three quickly is this. Then he goes into something here in verse 5 and 6 and says, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the sea. And now Jesus gives these men a lesson about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, why don't you be more concerned with taking care of somebody else besides yourself? I think the worst evidence of worldliness among Christians is selfishness. Selfishness. I'm just, you know, hey, I have things I have to do. Okay, not a problem. As long as it doesn't violate the Bible, do them. When it violates the Bible, ain't doing that. Because it's not about me. And ladies and gentlemen, look at me. You see, well, Pastor Johnson, we're doing Family Fun Day. You know, we're spending money on this. We're doing this stuff. Now it rains. We're going to do the thing, and running the buses and changing the schedule. And what is this all about? Can I ask you a question? What church have you been going to? 39 years ago, Shasta Baptist Church started in a Grange Hall building on Airport Road. Before we had a building of our own, we started running buses. We were in that Grange Hall and went around the corner of the Open Bible Church building, fixed that up, started there, and started a bus ministry by going back and renting the Grange Hall building and shuttling people back and forth between buildings. We went, I don't know how many years, 14, 15 years before we had a building of our own, a church building of our own, but we ran buses, we reached folks, we went out. See, because it wasn't really about our personal comfort. Yeah, we'd have people pull in the parking lot, see the little mangy buildings we were in, and pull right back out of the parking lot because we didn't have the facilities for them and that kind of stuff. Okay, so now we got the facilities. Now they pull in the parking lot and they leave because they know I'm here. But the truth of the matter is, it's unbelievable to me, this idea. See, Jesus is saying, you know, fellas, listen to me. You want to know who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Why don't you take care of somebody else? Why don't you do something for somebody else? Why don't you make it other than just about you? Whether or not you are, feel up to it, or you're standing up to it. I know we got folks with health issues. God bless you. You do what you can. And I'm not giving you a bad time about that, but it's way too much. Hey, COVID isn't over, but it's over as far as we're concerned. It's time to go to church. It's time to do what God wants. It's time to get on with it. Jesus is coming. It's about trying to help somebody else than me. I don't want a church that just takes care of me. I don't want a church that's just about me, that provides the music I like, that provides the program I like, that gives me what I want. We got a Starbucks in the foyer, and we got stuff so I can just sit there and have a little me service on a Sunday. No, no, no. Let's make it about somebody else. Let's make it about those people out there in that community. Don't you see what's happening to our city and our area here? Don't you see it? Say, well, that's just the way things are in the world, Pastor Johnson. Well, it is. And I didn't expect it just to get better by itself. But we're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be making a difference in these people's lives. And more than just a difference in raking leaves in their yard. We're supposed to get them the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can get saved. We're supposed to have places they can come and hear the word of God taught to them. We're supposed to have these things. That's our job. We're supposed to be about taking care of somebody else. And Jesus said, when you do that to me. Said the same thing in Matthew 25 when he said there'll come a day when people stand before the Lord and God will say, you know, you never came and visited me. You never helped me. And the people will say, well, when did we not do that? And he said, when you didn't go to prisons and visit me, when you didn't go to help people and And they'll start talking about what you didn't do for somebody else instead of what they did for themselves. See, that little boy right there, he taught a lot of good lessons about the Christian life. Taught a lot of good lessons about what impresses and catches Jesus' attention. And he taught it to adults who needed to see a little child come up and do what he was asked to do. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Thank you, Levi, son. You can go sit down.